Now, pinag-aaralan natin yung tinatawag na ang Biblia at ang mga hinaharap na kaganapan. We're studying the Bible and future events. The Bible and future events. And last week, we talked a lot about how there are Bible prophecies that have been given to us that have not been fulfilled. And in the course of our study, we are going to look at 7 unfulfilled future events. 7 unfulfilled future events. So meron mga 7 mga events na sa hinaharap pa natin ayon sa Bible na hindi pa nagaganap. And I gave you a chart dun sa mga may study notes. Binigyan ko kayo ng chart. And I want to show that chart real quick, just so you can see it. And by the way, kung kailangan mo ng notes, pwede kong i-email ito sa inyo, i-messenger nyo lang, at pwede nating ilagay ito sa messenger. And these are the 7 events that are future that we're waiting for, and they will take place, and it's all in God's calendar. The question is, when will these things happen, not will these things happen? So ang tanong, hindi yung mangyayari bang mga ito. Ang tanong, kailan mangyayari ang mga ito. So sigurado tayong mangyayari ho ang mga ito. Ang tanong lang, yung timing. Yun ang issue. Alright? And so I do want to give this to you. Now, ang tatalakayin natin today, what we're going to study about today is eto, dito tayo. Before, number one, before rapture of the believers. I-explain din natin kung ano yan. Pero sa ngayon, nandito ho tayo. At ito ang gusto kong i-explain today. I want to show you, biblically, where we are. Where are we in God's calendar? In God's program? Because if you want to understand the future, you should understand the present. You should know about the past, and you should know about the present, so that you can learn about the future. And God has not given us confusion. He's given us a light. Meron tayong gabay. A light that will shed some light on the matter about future events. But again, before you can learn about the future, those 7 events, before you can learn about that, you got to understand today. Where are we? What's going on in our world today? What's going on in God's calendar today? And so let me invite you to, at this point, go over to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. I want to show you that our current age is biblically called the present time. Marami pong tawag sa kasalukuyan natin sa Bible. Tinatawag itong the present time. It's also called the latter times. It's also called the last days. Folks, we are living in the last days. It should be fine.
They're telling us that it's weak.
Okay. The last days. And then it's also called perilous times. It's called perilous times. So we're living in perilous times. And it's also called last times in the Bible. So, yung kasalukuyan natin, ang tawag doon, present time, latter times, last days, perilous times, at saka last times. Yun ang mga tawag sa kasalukuyan natin ngayon. So, are we living in the last days? Yes, we are. We sure are. When did the last days begin? When did it start? And when does it end? And that's what we'll look at, okay? So, Matthew chapter number 11 is a classic passage that explains to us how Israel rejected the king. And because Israel rejected the king, God's kingdom program shifts. God is no longer dealing with Israel presently. Now, God will once again deal with Israel in the future. But I want to show you where the shift took place. Look at Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus hath made an end of the commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Remember, Jesus only was sent to the house of Israel. He was only supposed to deal with the nation of Israel. He wasn't supposed to deal with the Gentiles. And that's why the Syrophoenician woman, that's what Jesus said. You're not of the house of Israel. The Son of Man is not sent but to minister to the house of Israel. Because God was offering the kingdom of God to Israel. But Israel rejected that kingdom. So he's preaching and teaching in their cities. Verse number 2, John had heard. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? See, John the Baptist was in jail, and he was thinking maybe Jesus is not the Christ. And so, nangangamba si John the Baptist. So, sabi niya, nagpadala siya ng dalawang alagad. Ikaw ba talaga ang Messiah ng Diyos? Ikaw ba talaga ang magtataguyod ng kaharian ng Diyos? Kung ganun, bakit ako nandito sa presinto? Bakit ang pangit ng mga pangyayari? Ang Roma pa rin ang namumuno sa atin. And verse number 4, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus was using the mediatorial power. He was using his millennial power, the kingdom power, to heal. And there was not, he never lost one case. Everyone he healed was healed completely, instantly, because the power of God's kingdom was upon Jesus Christ. And he was using the power of the Spirit of God upon him. And so true kingdom power is instant healing. And this is prospective power. This is the kind of thing you can expect in the millennial kingdom of Christ. When Jesus establishes the kingdom on earth, he will have power to heal. He will rule and reign, and there will be nothing there that will prevent him from ruling and reigning. Then, let's see, verse number 6, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Verse 7, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Of course, and he promotes John, and he explains how John is a strong man and a great man, and he will not compromise. And verse number 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And that's a key verse. The prophets and the law prophesied until John. John brings in something new, something that wasn't there before. The Old Testament prophets preached and proclaimed the kingdom of God until John. John is a messenger, a forerunner for Christ, and something new, something different. And look at verse 14. And if ye will receive it, if ye will receive it, Jesus is talking to Israel. If you would receive John's witness, this is Elias, which was for to come. He'd have been like Elijah that we were waiting for. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But look at verse 16. Did they receive the witness of John? Did they receive the preaching of Jesus Christ? Did they receive the offer of the kingdom? Look at verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, saying, we have piped unto you, we have danced, we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say that he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, for and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinner, but wisdom is justified of her children. And so Israel didn't listen to the hard preaching of John the Baptist. They rejected the kingdom that John the Baptist's message is repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They rejected Jesus. See, Jesus was the kind preacher, the nice preacher. And he was a friend to the sinners, the publicans and sinners. And yet Israel rejected the kingdom. What was Jesus' message? It's the same as John. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's there for you to receive. But they rejected the king. They rejected Jesus Christ. So look at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Did Israel receive the king? No. And so because they rejected the king had to reject Israel. Oh, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in you that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those are Gentile nations, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which thou art exalted into heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Verse 25. Look at verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. God began to close Israel concerning his kingdom program. Israel was a chosen nation. Israel was a covenant people, and they still are. It hasn't changed. Israel is still a covenant people. But Israel is also a conflicted nation because they rejected the king. And so God rejected them for now, for this time being. And kaya yung invitation sa verse 28, napakahalaga. Kasi rineject ng Israel ang invitation ni Kristo. Kaya verse 28, yung invitation niya para sa lahat, hindi lang para kay Israel. Pansinin mo, verse 28. That's why God's invitation in verse 28 is not just to Israel anymore. Look at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to be from Israel. You don't have to be Jewish in ethnic origin, a native of Israel. You don't have to be of the physical seed of Abraham. The invitation of Christ is now universal. It goes to all over the world. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so this is a pivotal chapter that explains how Israel rejected the king and how the king shifted. And now his kingdom program is no longer focused on Israel as a nation. God's kingdom program is now focused not on a national people, but on a religious people. Not for the ethnic, racial people, but for the spiritual people. People that have been regenerated. Not national, but spiritual. So God's focus has shifted now. It is no longer Israel. Currently, today, Israel is blind. Israel is asleep. Israel is detached. Currently, today. Kaya pag bumisita ka sa Israel, wala silang alam patungkol kay Kristo sa Messiah. Tinanggihan nila. Tagal na nilang tinanggihan si Yesu Kristo. So ang focus ng Panginoon, yung kaharian ng Diyos, hindi na ho sa Israel. Ngayon, ang focus niya ay sa simbahan, sa church. And God's focus currently today is no longer in a nation. It is in a religious assembly of disciples that have been baptized. He is now focused not on a country, but on the church or the churches. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Tingnan mo ang Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Paul called this the mystery. He called it a great mystery. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church. That's the great mystery. Pag sinabing mystery sa Bible, when it says mystery in the Bible, it means something that was hidden in the Old Testament and not revealed until the New Testament. So the Old Testament prophets never saw the church, the mystery of Christ and His church. It's not in the Old Testament. It's only in the New Testament. Remember what Jesus said? The law and the prophets until John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one instrument used by God to baptize the disciples who would later follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ assembled from those who repented and believed and were baptized by John, He assembled His first people, His first church members from John's ministry. And so you see now the focus is no longer the nation of Israel, but God works His ministry through the churches. And so the church is the focal point today. And so that's what you should be involved in. That's what you should be concerned about. Yun dapat dun ka maglilingkod sa Panginoon, hindi sa bansang Israel, kundi sa mga simbahan ng Panginoon na kinasihan ng Diyos. Nung kinasihan niya si John the Baptist na magbaptize, lahat po ng mga disipulo na pinulong ng Panginoon para isimula ang kanyang church, yung unang church ng Galilee, katulad ng pinag-aralan natin sa Sunday, yung mga pinili niya ay yung mga nabautismuhan ni John the Baptist. At kaya ang simbahan ay pagpupulong ng mga Kristiyano na naibaptize at na dagdag sa simbahan. So ang simbahan po o iglesia, hindi lang ho yan basta-basta pagpupulong ng mga mananampalataya ang sabi ng mundo. Mali po yun. Ang simbahan o iglesia ay pagpupulong ng mga disipulo ng Panginoong Hesukristo na naibaptize sa tubig at sila ay sumali ng kusang loob sa simbahan o sa iglesia ng Panginoon. Kaya wag natin pong i-define ang church na sasabihin natin ang church ay ang pagpupulong ng mga mananampalataya. O mali po yun. Alright? So, one problem today is that people are saying that the church is an assembly of believers, okay? That's a problem. Biblically speaking, the church is an assembly of baptized disciples. They're not just believers. Yes, they are believers. That's the first important thing. But more than just believing, they surrender to baptism. Then, more than just being baptized, they continue. They were added unto them. That's the formula in Acts chapter 2. So when a person says church is an assembly of believers, that's one third of what the Bible teaches. The whole picture is the church is an assembly of baptized disciples who have been baptized and added unto the church. Those are your three components: salvation, baptism, and membership. And so that's how we define the church in the Bible. And when you have a promise given to one church, that promise is given to all churches as well. So what's true for one church is true for all the churches of Christ. And so, but there is no invisible, mystical body of universal body of Christ that you're added unto at the point of salvation. That's something that's made up. The Protestants believe that. The Catholics believe that, but not the Baptist, okay? And certainly not in the Bible, as we see it in the Bible. Now, God's kingdom program is no longer Israel. Now, babalik naman siya kay Israel. He'll be back. He will come and work with Israel again. But for now, his kingdom program is the church. And it's called a great mystery. A great mystery. Christ and the church. Now, the present age could be called the church age because of that. We call it the church age because God's focus, God's kingdom program is focused on the New Testament church or the New Testament churches and not Israel. And so, ano yung mga characteristics ng kasalukuyan natin? Well, for one thing, the gospel is preached to every creature. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. The gospel is preached to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, who did he say it to? To Israel? No, he said it to his church. He said unto the church, unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's program for the church today. God wants his churches involved in preaching the gospel to every creature. And that's why we have missions. That's why we're missionaries, sinusuportahan tayo, to preach the gospel to every creature in the Philippines. And beyond, to preach the gospel. This is God's program today. He wants churches preaching the gospel to every creature. He commissioned the church to do that. Now, did he commission any other organization to do that? Is there any other organization out there that could preach the gospel? No. No. There isn't. There isn't. And so kapag nagsasabi yung tao, gusto kong mangaral ng gospel ng Panginoon, tanong, anong church member ka? Oh, hindi ako member sa church. Ginagawa ko lang ito kasi gusto kong gawin. Hindi ka ho authorized. Kailangan may authority. Kailangan may commission ka. At ang kinomission ng Panginoon ay kanyang simbahan, ang kanyang mga iglesia. And that's the truth. Now, if you have a new translation, Mark 16 is not part, this verse here is not part of the Bible. Again, that's why we use the King James Bible. This is important. And so you use a new translation, they'll put a little note on the side. These verses are not authentic. They were added later. Oh, that's heresy. That attacks the Great Commission to every creature. Oh, that's Antichrist. Anyway, so characteristics ng natin ngayon ay ang pamamahagi ng ebanghelyo sa lahat ng mga nilalang. Look at the Great Commission is granted exclusively to the church. Who has the authority to baptize? Who has the authority to minister the Lord's Supper? Can anybody do that? No. That is given to the church in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus commissioned the church to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded them. And he has commissioned the church to baptize the converts. those who would repent and believe need to be baptized and added to the church and discipled and brought along. So what discipling agency is authorized by God? What baptizing agency is authorized by God? The nation of Israel? No. The church. The New Testament church. This is all God's program today. This is God's ground plan, working with the churches. Kaya, when you look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, go over to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the last book of the Bible, Jesus is addressing seven churches. Jesus did not address one mega church. He did not address one universal church. He did not address an invisible church. Certainly none of that. Jesus addressed seven local New Testament, and I say Baptist, churches. That's who he works with. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20. Here's another mystery. See, there are 11 mysteries, 11 or so, mysteries in the New Testament. And this is another one of those mystery. Then next Wednesday night, I'll show you another mystery. Anyway, look at verse number 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Churches. God's program today involves the churches. It involves the church. And so, if you're a believer and you're not a member of a good, solid, Bible-believing church, you're in trouble. You're not working with God's current program. Get to a good church. You say, well, there is no good church in my area. Then start one. Pray that God would bring someone to start a church. You say, well, we don't have a lot of building. We don't have a lot of things. You don't need a lot of things. You just need an assembly of baptized disciples who want to come together and fulfill the commission of the Lord. Okay? And so you don't need a lot of things. You just need obedience to the Lord to start a church. Anyway, but this is God's program today. And so churches have a big responsibility. Churches have an authority. They have a responsibility. They have a commission from Jesus Christ. That's why churches will answer to Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to be a lot of accountability between Christ and the church, the mystery of Christ and the church. Now, mayroong mga characteristics ang kasalukuyan natin ngayon according to the Bible. The Bible gives us several characteristics for today. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And this will explain to you why we're in such a mess. Bakit ang mundo natin napakagulo, no? Pati na rin sa mga simbahan. Ang gugulo rin ng mga simbahan. May mga simbahan na matino, no? Nawa, sana. Meron din mga simbahan na backsliders. Katulad ng Laodicea Church, no? Punong-puno sila ng mga backsliders. Bakit ganun? Kasi, look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. let's see here. Matthew chapter 13. Verse number, let's see. This is another one of those mysteries. Okay? Matthew chapter 13. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together unto him. And so he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now remember, Israel had just rejected Jesus, and now Jesus is shifting, And now he's using parables for the first time in his teaching. This is the first time you will read the word parable in the whole New Testament. And Jesus is now using parables. Why? Because he's hiding the truth from those who don't want to know the truth. And he's speaking to those who want to know the truth. Verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And so now Jesus begins to explain the mystery of the kingdom parables. And in Matthew 13, there are 8 parables concerning today. And they're called the mystery of the kingdom parables. And these 8 parables perfectly describe our present day situation, beginning with the parable of the sower. Now, you know the parable of the sower? The sower sowed the seed. How many soils? 4 different kinds of soils. 4 different kinds of listeners. That's why as we preach and teach, some people get saved and many people don't get saved. Why? Because it's the mystery, the parable of the sower. You can expect when you preach the gospel, many will reject. But there will be some who will have fruit and who will gain eternal life. And even in our church, we preach and teach. Why do some members grow and other members are defeated? The parable of the sower. Look at the parable of the tares among the wheat. Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. And he also received seed among the... the parable of the wheat. Yeah, verse 25. Look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Tares among the wheat. Kaya yun sa church or sa mga tahanan, sa mga community, may mga saved at merong mga unsaved. Even in the church, not everybody is saved. Even in the church. Now let me remind you, did Jesus... When he started his church, I mean, can you find a better church planter than Jesus Christ? Huh? Did he have an unsaved church member? Oh, who? Judas Iscariot, that's right. Why? Because we're in the parable of the tares sown among the wheat. So I'm telling you, don't tell me I'm saved because I'm a church member. Oh, if you think you're saved because you're a church member, you're ignorant to the truth of Scripture. You're not saved because you're a church member. That has nothing to do with salvation. Joining a church doesn't get you to heaven. Joining a church is not salvation. So anyway, there's also the parable of the leaven, parable of leaven. Look at Matthew 13 and verse number 33. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven grows and grows and grows. And in the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin. Now let me ask you a question. Is our world better now, or is it getting worse and worse and worse in sin? What do you think? Worse. Yes. Why? Because of this parable explains to us that sin grows more and more. Are there more wickedness? There's more wickedness. Now, there's always been wickedness, but more and more, you can expect more and more wickedness. This is where we live. The parables in Matthew 13 explain our present day, our current day. There's the parable of the hid treasure in Matthew 13, verse 44. The hid treasure, that's Israel. Israel is hid currently.
Nakatago po ang Israel ngayon. Kaya hindi ginagamit ng Diyos ang bansang Israel. Ang ginagamit ng Diyos ngayon yung mga simbahan, mga iglesia ng Panginoon.
And then there's the parable of the merchant man who leaves everything to buy back the pearl. And Jesus Christ left heaven so he can buy back the people of God. And certainly Israel is part of that. And so this is it, the parable of the net. Oh, the gospel net is cast into the sea of humanity, and one day everyone's gonna be accounted for. You're either saved or you're not saved. That's what that parable is about. God is bringing our day and age to a close. And when it closes, it's all the saved are going to be separated from the unsaved. All that's saved will be with him in the Father's house. And all that are not saved will be thrown and cast into the lake of fire. So you're either saved or you're not saved. That's it. There's two kinds of people. Saved or unsaved. I don't know where you are. I hope through, by faith, you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and know that you are saved because of Him, because of what He did for you. Because if you're not saved, you are unsaved. But you can get saved, especially now. Now's the time. Now, today is the day. And if you wait, it may not happen. Oh, don't wait to get saved. Get saved now. And know that. And then there's the parable of the householder in Matthew 13, which explains how Christians ought to be expert at drawing things old and new from the Old Testament and the New Testament truths. And a ready answer, how the Bible says, we are ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's the Christian. Anyway, so why is the world a mess today? Oh, because we're living in the mystery of the kingdom parables. We're in a mixed multitude. Like it or not, we are. And the saved and the unsaved are together. And that's why Jesus is coming back. Because when he comes back, he's going to sort it out. And I hope you're saved. Now, our time is marked by apostasy. Apostasy. Ano yung apostasy sa Tagalog? Pagtalikod ng pananampalataya. Marami hong mga tao na sinasabi nila meron silang pananampalataya kay Kristo, pero kung tutuusin, tinalikuran nila ang pananampalataya. Hindi ho yan ligtas. They were never saved to begin with. And this is our day and age. This is what our day and age looks like. And the Bible goes on more. Nasa study notes ninyo, no? Linagay ko sa study notes ninyo kung ano pa ang mga characteristics ng kasalukuyan natin. And there's more. And so, we live in the church age. Today, God's focus is on the local churches. Now, I hope you're serving the Lord in a good local church. Because when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to reward you according to how you served Him in the local church. And all that blessing will come as a result of worshiping Him, serving Him, fellowshipping with others, and evangelizing and reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. God will bless and God will reward. God's going to bring the church age to a close. He's going to shut down the church age. And He's going to begin a new age. Not new age, okay, cult. But He's going to begin the next phase in His kingdom program. And that's what we're going to study. So now, I hope you have a good understanding of the last days, our days. And we have something to look forward to. And I'll talk more about that next Wednesday night. Ipagpapatuloy natin itong pag-aaral natin. Kung ano ang susunod sa calendar ng Diyos. Okay? Meron pa bang iba pang na dapat mangyari before na
before sa rapture or ano ba ang rapture, ganon. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email or send a message, communicate, and I'll be more than glad to answer questions and that kind of stuff. And if you need the study notes, request ng study notes, ibibigay ko po yan sa inyo. If I believe I put this on the messenger for our group, but if there's others that are listening and you want the study notes, I'll be more than glad to give it to you. But I hope you know, God is interested in the churches today, and you should be too. And we will answer to God for how we treated, served Him under the authority of a local New Testament, Bible-believing, solid Baptist church. And I pray that would be a blessing to you. All right? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us in the dark. You explained very plainly from the scriptures exactly the time frames and the signs and the times and the seasons and how the future events will unfold one by one. And Lord, we look forward to the time where we can see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the clouds to be with Him forever. And Lord, we look forward to that time where we can lay down our crowns at His feet and exalt Him and unite with Him, Lord, in a marriage made in heaven with His churches, Lord. And I pray, Father, you would bless and that you would encourage the believers to remain faithful and to get stronger in everyone's respective church. And if there is some who don't know the Lord as Savior, help them to find Christ and then find a good church. We love you, Lord, and thank you and ask that you bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.